Scripture found in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. I want to read the last three verses of that chapter and take a subject from it. And it says, beginning at verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now I want to stop right there on that one verse. And say to you, that's what I had mentioned before. We need to be careful whenever the scriptures say the word of God. Because there was a time when I read that scripture, I thought it was talking about this written word. I thought it was talking about the spoken word. But this is not speaking of either one of those. This is speaking of the living word. This is speaking of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by which you are born of incorruptible seed. And so he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. That's one thing about this Bible. We have it long, God has preserved it. And I believe as long as God's church and God's people are here in time upon this earth, it'll be preserved for them to have. But it's not forever. It doesn't live forever. Because when we get to heaven, we won't need it anymore. We won't need the preached gospel anymore. So this is speaking of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the word of the Lord, the word that's spoken of here, by which you're born of incorruptible seed, the word of the Lord endureth forever, forever. And this is the word that is Jesus, which by the gospel is preached unto you. And that's what we do with the gospel. We preach unto you the living word of God, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now speaking here of the new birth, there's any number of ways I could go with that subject. Being born again of God is passive on the part of a sinner. It comes to a man that's dead in trespasses and in sin. And God reaches down and gives him life with the power of his spoken voice. So that's one way we could take it. But what I want to do this morning, the Lord being our helper, we want to take a look at some things. I'll call this the effects of being born again. What happens to a man that is dead in trespasses and in sin, has no interest in God, has nothing within him to cause him to want to know God, has no interest in Jesus Christ or anything about Christ. He's dead in trespasses and in sin. And God reaches down and gives a man such as that eternal life. What's the difference as soon as he receives that eternal life? That's what I want to talk about this morning. The effects of this new birth that comes to a man dead in trespasses and in sin. The effects that it has upon him. And the scriptures tell us a lot about what those effects are, and we just want to take a look at a few of them this morning. First of all, a man is dead, and all of a sudden he's received this eternal life that comes to him from God. He has a different feeling from within himself without anybody ever saying a word to him. He'll feel like a sinner. He'll feel guilty. He'll feel like the things that he does is wrong. He'll have a different attitude and feeling about himself. What a man like that needs, then he needs the gospel to tell him what Jesus has done for him. Now, we want to take a look at some things here. Now, I don't know that I'll get to all of these, but I'll go over them with you. The first thing a man like that receives, he receives because he has God that lives within him. He receives a new inward power, a power that he didn't have before. It's inside of him. It's God or Jesus Christ in him, the hope of glory. So he receives a new inward power. He receives something that causes him to live his life, to be a Christian or to be Christ-like or to pattern his life after the example that Christ left on record for him to follow. Another effect that it has, it gives him a devotion to a new master that he didn't have before. So he has a devotion to a new master. It gives him an ambition for heavenly things. It gives him an affection for heavenly things. And it enables him to come under the sound of the gospel, to hear Jesus Christ proclaim, and be uplifted in his spirit to heavenly places, even while he travels here upon this earth. Now let us take a look at some of these things and see how far we can get. I don't want to take too much of Brother Will's time, but we'll find over in the book of Romans, it says this, and this is concerning that I said, he has received within himself a new inward power. Now listen to this scripture found in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This is what it says. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now I want to take a moment right there. Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Who is that? That's God the Father. God in his own power raised Jesus up from the dead in the tomb, that borrowed tomb that he was placed in there that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. Now I want to say this. Jesus, I don't know whether you heard me last time I stood here. Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, I said something else. I shouldn't have said it. It was the third day. Five or six or seven times in the scripture tells me that he was raised on the third day. I believe it was the third day. I had a slip of mind because he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. But I believe he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. But we have a God who has power in his voice. And I believe at the very end of those 3 days and three nights, before it was the next day or the first day of the week, which was Sunday, God raised his body from the dead inside that tomb. Now, I believe on that first day of the week, the next day after that, the first time Jesus was seen in his resurrected body. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now see, that's this inward power that a person has received that gives him the ability to follow after spiritual things. And he has a spirit within him that encourages him to go after spiritual things, that encourages him to seek those things that are of God. Now I want to say something here about this word quicken here. This word quicken here is not the same as that quickening like it says over there in Ephesians chapter 1 where it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." That word quickened over there means made alive. That's what quickening is, to make it alive. So in Ephesians chapter 1 that says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." That's this new birth, being born again of incorruptible seed. That is being made alive. But this quickening here is not that thing. Why? It is not the same thing. Why? Because first of all, this is talking about someone that has the Spirit of Christ within them. They've already received life. They already have the Spirit of God within them. Well, what does that quickening mean there? Well, most of you have children here, and you know from time to time you may tell your children something. You may tell your child to do something, and he hears you, and he's got it in his mind that he's going to do exactly what mother or daddy told him to do, but he kind of procrastinates. And sooner or later, you have to use the back of your hand to say, "I told you to do this," and then that spurs him along. That's quickening him along in life. And that's what the Spirit is doing here. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, that Spirit that God has placed within the born again child of God moves him along to spiritual things. Reading on down through that. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. But if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." Now there it is. There's that Spirit of God that's within him that gives him this new inward power that moves him along. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you are the Son of God. That's an evidence that a man is a son of, is a child of God, or the son of the living God, is the fact that he has this Spirit within him that moves him along to do spiritual things. It gives a man such as that a new inward power. Now turning over to the book of 2 Corinthians, we'll find a Scripture that tells us that this new thing that's within a man that's been quickened, that's been born again of corruptible seed, of incorruptible seed, this man has something within him that enables him to be Christ-like. Why? Because he has Christ within him, the hope of glory. Christ Jesus actually has taken up his abode in the heart of such an individual, and he is able by that Spirit to live like Christ, to pattern himself like Christ. You know, Christ lived a life here upon this earth, and he told us to be followers of him. And if we're going to be followers of him, we have to have this Spirit within us that enables us to be Christ-like in our service to the Lord. We'll find in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says in verse 10 there, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's one thing that this person will experience. He hears of how Jesus died for his sin, and he always is bearing within his body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem him from the sins that he commits. It's sort of like the Apostle Paul said one time. He said, I come among you knowing nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So that's something that a child that's been born again, he bears in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And he does that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in his body. In other words, he experiences that Christ died for him, and then with the life that he had within him, he can live a life and manifest in this mortal fleshly body the things just like Christ left as an example for us to follow. We can become a Christian, become Christ-like, become followers of him because we have that's within us. Now, another thing that we'll find in this same book of 2 Corinthians, it gives us a devotion to a new master. A person that's been born again of incorruptible seed, he has a new master. That master is his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he can have a devotion to him. He can follow him. He can go after the things of God, following after the Lord Jesus Christ, making his devotion toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning there at verse 14 of chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now that scripture right there is simply saying, if Jesus died for all the elect, if Jesus died for all that God the Father gave to him, then they were indeed all dead in trespasses and in sin, and had to receive this life that is incorruptible that they receive from God. And then in verse 15, he says, and that he died for all, that is all that God the Father gave to him, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. In other words, it gives a person that has received this life, this incorruptible birth that came to him from God, not because of anything he did, but because God, in his infinite wisdom, love, and mercy, reached down and gave him life. And so he now has a devotion to a new master. He has Jesus within him, and he can utilize that fleshly body that he has to live for Jesus, the one who died for him and rose again the third day. Let me say it again, the third day. Yes, he rose again the third day. But henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now going on over, we'll find a couple of scriptures that tell us the other effects, some other effects that we have of this divine life that we have received from God. First of all, it gives us an ambition for heaven. Now, you know, ambitions are good. We can all have ambitions, even in our own public life, and in our own private lives. It's good to have to get a good education, to get a good job, and have a good job. Those are all things that we all should seek after. But this is talking about something above that. This is talking about an ambition, ambition for heavenly things. In chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, it says here in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. And when he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, he's talking about someone that has received this new birth of an incorruptible seed. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That ought to be our ambition, things of heaven. We ought to seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated right there at the right hand of God, there in heaven. Another thing that we ought to do is set our affection on heavenly things. And you know, affection is a word that denotes set our love toward, or set our desire toward. It's sort of like me and my wife have a special affection for little Matthew Isaac, and we're looking forward to seeing him again this afternoon, and creating some bond time between Nanny and Matthew and Papa and Matthew. And so we have our affection set on him. But here, this is talking about setting your affection on Jesus, setting your affection on things of heaven, setting your affection on things that you'll experience after this life is over and gone. He says in this same chapter here of the book of Colossians, verse 2, chapter 3, set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So set your affection on things above. Now one other scripture in closing. The effects of this eternal, life that you've received, that comes to you from God, is it enables us to be exalted to heavenly places. And I can tell you, I experienced that right here in this very building at your annual meeting last weekend, when I was here to hear those three sermons by Elder Gary Hall. What a great sermons it were. It lifted me up above this world, and it lifted me up to heavenly places. It caused me to rejoice in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about here in the book of Ephesians. And it says, as he goes down Starting out here telling about us being quickened and then how we were before we were quickened. And then he says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." That's why it's by grace, because you were dead, not able to do anything of yourself, and God gave you life, and he reached down and gave it to you by his grace, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to be raised up from the cares of this world and made to sit together in heavenly places even while we live here in this world. And it raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. What's not of yourself? That faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, our text over in 1 Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You see, when we were born naturally into this world, it was of a corruptible seed from Adam. He's not talking about that birth, but of an incorruptible. He's talking about the new birth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, that's the living Word, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which liveth and abideth forever. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer. Certainly want you to pray for Brother Martin as he comes to you.
Blessed are the saints who render faithful service.
God has called.
turn.